The country's most restrictive anti-abortion measure is headed to the governor's desk in Alabama. It's a bill passed yesterday in that state's Senate that would make it a felony for doctors to perform abortions. There is an exception for serious health risk to the mother, but not for rape or incest. Republican State Representative Terry Collins sponsored the bill and described the goal.
We were trying to keep it just as it was to address the issue that Roe versus Wade was decided on, which is that baby in the womb a person?
NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg joins us now. Hi, Nina.
Hi there.
So this bill's supporters want this to go to the Supreme Court and try to get the Roe versus Wade decision overturned. How likely is that to happen, and how long would it take?
Well, I can't really answer either question with a definitive answer, except to say the ACLU announced yesterday that it will file a lawsuit to stop the Alabama ban. We can't really know how long it'll take. It should get to the Supreme Court, I would guess, by at least a year anyway, within the next year. But the Alabama's law is only the most extreme one that's been passed since Brett Kavanaugh became a justice, since his appointment last year. And anti-abortion groups during that period since his appointment have been pushing a variety of laws that clearly violate Roe versus Wade. And any reasonable person looking at the Alabama law would say that it violates Roe, and therefore it will be struck down by the lower courts. Like some of the other restrictions passed recently, it will not go into effect. And those lower court decisions will then be appealed to the Supreme Court. But the court doesn't have to grant review. It can let those lower court decisions just remain in place. Still, it takes the votes of just four justices, not five, not a majority, to grant review. And it's not clear to me right now, as we sit here, whether there are four justices to grant if they're not sure that they have a fifth. For example, Chief Justice Roberts. Mm-hmm.
So they may not want to take the case if they're not sure that anything will change in the outcome. Now, the question, and it was brought up when Kavanaugh went through his confirmation hearings, is whether the court follows precedent. This is something called stare decisis. It came up in his confirmation hearings, and he talked about the 1992 Casey decision. Here's Kavanaugh.
Planned Parenthood versus Casey reaffirmed Roe and did so by considering the stare decisis factors. So Casey now becomes a precedent on precedent.
What do we know about what Kavanaugh has said and signaled when it comes to Roe versus Wade and precedent?
Well, again, I'm not sure. But look, there are five conservative justices on the court now, five who clearly would not have voted the way the court majority did in Roe in 1973. All five, I think, I should note, are Catholic, but so was Justice Kennedy, who became one of the justices who repeatedly upheld the core holding of Roe, in part on the grounds of precedent, on the grounds of this doctrine called stare decisis. And precedent is really important in the law because people rely on it. They organize their lives, their financial affairs, everything based on what the law is. The Supreme Court traditionally didn't just turn around and change things overnight on major or even minor cases if there wasn't a really good reason to do that.
Well, and that brings us to something that happened just earlier this week. The Supreme Court overturned a 40-year-old precedent about whether someone can sue one state using the courts of another state. And Justice Breyer wrote a dissent basically warning about overturning precedent. What did that case tell you about the court right now?
Well, here's what he said. It was pretty interesting, and I'm quoting him here now, more or less. I understand that justices of this court may decide cases wrongly. I also understand that later appointed judges may come to believe that earlier appointed judges made an error. And I understand that judges may be tempted to seize every opportunity to overrule cases that they believe have been wrongly decided. But the law can retain necessary stability only if this court resists that temptation and overrules prior precedents only when circumstances demand it. And then he went on to describe what those kinds of circumstances traditionally are. To overrule a sound decision, like Hall, he said, the relatively unimportant decision, is to encourage litigants to seek to overrule other cases. It is to make it more difficult for lawyers to refrain from challenging settled law, and it is to cause the public to become increasingly uncertain about which cases the court will overrule and which cases are here to stay.
Mm-hmm. That's NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg. Nina, thank you.
Thank you.